What son is there whom his father does not discipline? Gertrude, you can have some more French fries when you eat all of your broccoli. Fred, you can't watch TV until your homework is finished. Penelope, if you're not in the house by 11 o'clock tonight, I'm taking away your cell phone. Sylvester, I want you to sit in that chair and to think about how you're going to share with your sister. Perhaps you've heard these expressions from your parents, or maybe you've said them to your children. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Every good parent disciplines his children. A good father doesn't discipline because he wants to cause pain for his children, or because he hates his kids, or because he's angry. A good father disciplines because he knows what's good for his kids. He disciplines out of love. You love your children so much, you don't want them to steal or lie or cheat. You discipline them so that they'll grow up to be saints, not selfish, irresponsible, spoiled brats. Now, at the time it is administered, all discipline seems as a cause not for joy, but for pain. Isn't that the truth? I mean, what child do you know enjoys eating broccoli instead of eating French fries? Or finishing his homework instead of watching TV? Or having a timeout instead of playing outside? Or being grounded without a cell phone instead of sending millions of text messages? At the time it is administered, all discipline seems a cause not for joy, but for pain. Yet later, it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. Although at the time discipline seems painful, later we see that discipline brings forth good fruit. It's kind of like high school football. The high school football season is well underway now, and our high school boys have been lifting weights all summer. They've been doing pull-ups and push-ups and sit-ups and jumping jacks. They've been running in place, and when the whistle blows, they drop to their knees. And if they're a slacker, the coach will make them sit on the bench, run around the goalposts 100 times, and do more push-ups. And a good coach will never, ever, ever let them take their helmet off until the very end of practice, no matter how hot it is. Now, at the time, this discipline seems painful. But later, it produces character and endurance, and hopefully a winning season. The men need discipline so that they can play not just for the first half, but till the very end of the fourth quarter, week after week after week after week. St. Paul says in his letter to the Hebrews that discipline from our heavenly Father is similar to discipline from our earthly fathers. This point is made clear in the verses that were unfortunately left out of today's second reading from chapter 12 to the letter of the Hebrews. Like verse 9, which says, "We have had fathers of the flesh discipline us, and we respected them. We respected our coaches for their discipline and our teachers and our parents." Verse 9 finishes, "Should we not all the much more be subject to the Father of our spirit?" For God's discipline is even better than the discipline of our earthly fathers, because God's discipline is always just and perfect and loving. Verse 10 that we didn't hear says, "For God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness." Isn't that beautiful? God disciplines us for our good, because he wants us to share in his holiness. In other words, he wants us to share in his very divine life for all eternity. And yet, when the Lord administers his discipline, it seems not to be a cause for joy, but for pain. Like go to Mass every single Sunday and holy day of obligation. Or abstain from meat and make a sacrifice for Jesus on every Friday of the year, not just during Lent. Or like, don't lie and don't commit adultery and don't kill the child in the womb and don't get married to a person of the same gender. Like, don't watch bad things on TV and on the internet. Don't buy things that your friends have. And don't steal things. And don't say bad things about other people. And don't get married because you're already married. And don't receive communion because you're not in a valid marriage. Ugh. I could go on and on. You see, at first, God's discipline is not a cause for joy, but for pain. But later, it brings forth the fruit of righteousness, of virtue, of moral character, of joy, and peace, and patience. God isn't mean. He's like a good father. He disciplines because he knows what's good for us, even if we can't see it right now. He wants us to be the best children we can be. And so God's like a football coach. He's going to train us with good, hard discipline because he wants us to win the game of life and share in his holiness forever in heaven. So St. Paul encourages us, endure your trials as discipline. Whatever those trials may be. Maybe you're getting persecuted for being Catholic or for standing up for marriage and family life. Or maybe you've been falsely accused by somebody. Or maybe you lost your job or people are picking on you at school. Or there's tensions with a family member. Or you're suffering from cancer or recovering from surgery. Or you're suffering the effects of a natural disaster. Or still mourning the loss of somebody you love. St. Paul reminds us that God disciplines us for our good. And he reminds us by quoting from the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 11 to 12, which says, "My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, nor lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines." There it is. God, our Heavenly Father, disciplines his children not out of hate, not out of anger, not to be mean, but out of love. We forget this, and we think, oh, God doesn't love me anymore in the midst of this trial. God's punishing me in the midst of this trial. That is such a lie, right from the devil. The truth is that God always, always, always loves you. He always wants what is for your good. But he uses trials and crosses that he didn't cause, by the way. We cause them. These sufferings are the negative effects of sin. But God uses these trials and sufferings to help us grow in virtue. It's because God loves us so much that he can't overlook our sins and our selfishness. He disciplines us out of love in order to train us in righteousness and to raise us up to spiritual adulthood. So, strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees, and forget not the exhortation addressed to us as children. My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, and do not lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines.